Now, I'm guessing that back in 605 BC, they probably didn't have high school yearbooks. But if they did, if they didn't, if you were to turn the page and see the little photo there of Daniel, underneath his name, no doubt, it would say, most likely to succeed. Right? If you had paged through the rest of the yearbook, you'd probably find out that he was the homecoming king, right? He was the quarterback, star of the football team, the Jerusalem Jets, right? No doubt he was valedictorian of his class. I mean, this is one good-looking, smart, sharp guy, just like all the rest that the king had gathered up from Jerusalem and was going to take him off to Babylon. Right? Listen to the description. These are the kind of guys they're looking for. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was looking for the sharpest, the brightest, and the best. And of this elite squad of young men that are gathered up, four of them rose to the top. Daniel and his three friends, they were the best of the best. It says that when the king interviewed them, no one else was like them. No one else was as astute as they were, as sharp as they were, smart as they were. They were the best of the best. And yet, what do we remember Daniel for? Here, over 2,000 years later, why is it that we even know that he exists? Was it his good looks? Was it his smarts? Was it his noble birth? No. We know Daniel because he stood up for what's right. He took a stand for the one true God. And not once, but on several occasions, that he would stand for what was right, and he would stand for what he believed in his convictions. So beginning today and for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at three different times in which Daniel stood strong. Today we see that Daniel stands out. He stands out even from the other Israelites that made the trek from Jerusalem over to Babylon. He stands out because he's going to stand firm on his conviction and in his faith. The fact of the matter is that all of us stand out. If we are Christians, if we're followers and disciples of Jesus, we will stand out in the world because we've been called to a new life. We've been called to a new life in Christ. We've been called to a higher standard. We've been called to live differently than the rest of the world. And because of that, that means at times we'll stand out. But the question is, how do we get the courage to do that? How do we have the wisdom to know when we should stand out or what we should stand out for and what we should just let pass by? And that's what we can learn from Daniel. There's some important lessons that we can learn from Daniel and his life. And this morning, we want to learn how is it that we can stand out. Well, the first thing that we discover about Daniel is he has resolve. He resolved on what he was going to do and what he wasn't going to do. Now, if you got your Bibles or mobile devices, you want to pull out them. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to sort of go through most of the chapter. So we begin at verse 8. It says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine." You see, he made a decision, right? A calculated decision, a well-thought-out decision. In other words, Daniel thought it through. He thought it through before it happened. And he had a lot of time to think about it, right? It's a long trek from Jerusalem all the way over to Babylon, right? And on that trip, you got to imagine, he's thinking in his mind, right? What are the circumstances I'm going to get myself into, right? What predicaments? What am I going to have to face? What decisions will I have to make? And so he thought it through, and then he pre-decided what he was going to do. He pre-decided was it going to be okay, and where was he going to draw the line and say, no, I'm not going to do that, right? So first of all, there's the whole relocation thing. He went along with that. I'm assuming he could have refused to go. It probably wouldn't have went well for him, but he refused to go. But he said, all right, fine, we'll move, and we'll go all the way over to Babylon, right? Then they're going to change his name. I'm guessing that was a little bit harder because Daniel in the Hebrew, it makes a reference back to the one true God. But when they call him Belshazzar, that's actually a reference to the pagan god of Babylon. That wouldn't sit too well with him, but he made the decision, all right, that's okay. I'll go along with the name. It bothers me, but that'll be okay. Now it comes to the menu. Nope. Comes to the menu. No, I can't do that. Now, why did he choose the menu? What was the big deal about the food? Sounds pretty good to me. Eat off the king's table, drink the king's wine. Sounds like a sweet deal, right? Better than anyone else was going to get. Ah, but in Daniel's day, God had been very clear on the strict dietary restrictions of the Hebrew people, both what they could eat and also how it would be prepared. Neither one of them would have been observed by the Babylon king, right? Both what they served and the way that they served it. And then on top of that, before the food was served to the king, a portion of the wine and a portion of the food would have been offered as a sacrifice to their pagan god, as a thank offering, as a homage to him. And Daniel wanted to have nothing to do with that. So that's where he drew the line. But you see, he decided ahead of time. He pre-decided that he would not defile himself with that food. In other words, he didn't wait till he was hungry. He didn't wait till it was dinner time, and he's staring at this big, juicy pork chop and this glass of Merlot, right? It says that he resolved not to defile himself with the food and the wine from the king's table. But he made that decision before he got into the circumstance. My friends, if we're going to stand for what we believe, and if we're going to stand out from the crowd, we have to have resolve. We have to have resolve. It means that you have to think it through. It means that you have to decide ahead of time. This is how I'm going to react, or this is how I'm not going to react. Now, I understand life happens, right? And there are many, many things that we can't be prepared for, many circumstances that we'll get ourselves into where we'll have to make a last-minute decision. But if you think with me for just a few moments, there are many circumstances in life, many places where you'll find yourself that you can think about it before you get into the circumstance, right? You can prepare for a decision that you might have to make. You can pre-decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, right? So for those of you who are single, you're going to go out on a date with someone, right? You can pre-decide what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, right? You can go to the Word of God, which is very clear, which is what Daniel did. Very clear, it says that this body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And it says that you shouldn't defile this body, which means that sex is in the context of marriage only. It's God's gift, but it's in the context of marriage. That's how it's supposed to be. So you pre-decide before you go out with that person. You don't wait till you're in the heat of the moment. That's just dumb. You pre-decide, this is how I'm going to handle that situation, right? Let's say you're brokering a deal, whether it's in your business or whether it's just buying a new car. Right? You pre-decide before you step into that room, I'm going to be honest and fair in all my dealings. You just make that commitment. I know this is what God calls me to do, is to have integrity, to be honest, to be fair in all my dealings. That way, when you're sitting across the desk from the new guy, the guy that doesn't know anything about negotiating, the guy that if you just say the right words and you sweet talk him just a little bit, he'll give away the whole house, right? Right? He's going to cheat himself and you're going to take advantage of him. He'll probably lose his job. But you've already decided. You're not going to let him do that. You're going to be honest and you're going to be fair. But you had to think about it before. You can't be in the moment. Unfortunately, this past week has caused at least me to think about a circumstance that I never thought that I'd be in, but it seems to be an increasing reality. We've all heard about the shootings up in Oregon. And although there are numerous reports that are coming from there, it seems from various sources that the gunman, when he entered in at least one of the classrooms, he had them stand up and he asked them if they were a Christian. If they said yes, he shot them in the head. If they said no, he shot them in the leg. I thought people died for their faith in the Middle East someplace, over in China. We got brothers and sisters in the faith that were killed because they said yes. So I ask myself, maybe you ask yourself, what would I have done? I know what I hope, what I wish, but if you're just caught in the moment and you haven't thought about it beforehand, it's made me say, now I want to have a resolve. And by the grace of God, by the power of God, I want to be able to say, yes, I believe in Jesus at that moment. But you can't wait for the moment. How many other circumstances in life that you know you'll be in, relationships, family, work, social, where you're going to be called upon to make decisions and choices? You can think ahead, think it through, and pre-decide This is what I will do and this is what I won't do, based upon the clear word of God, based upon what God would have me do, this new life that I've been called to. We have to have resolve. But just because we have resolve doesn't mean that we can't be reasonable. And that's the second thing that we learned from Daniel. Daniel is reasonable in it. He's going to stick by his resolve, but he's very reasonable in his saying that I'm not going to partake of the food from the king's table nor his wine, right? Let's go back to verse 8. So Daniel resolved not to defile himself, right? And then it says this, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Two key words, ask and permission, right? In other words, Daniel isn't abrasive, he's not aggressive, right? He doesn't decide that he's just not going to eat, that he's going to starve himself to death, that he's going to call a press conference to talk about the inhumane treatment of Nebuchadnezzar and all of his officials, right? He's not going to cause this big stink about it. I mean, he could have, right? He could have made a big deal about it, made it very public. Now, back in those days, he probably would have just been executed, and we wouldn't even know that he ever lived, okay? But he could have done that. Instead, he's very reasonable about it. He respectfully comes to the official, and he asks for permission not to defile himself with that food. No doubt he explained to him why he couldn't partake of that food, why he objected to that food. But being reasonable, the official would at least listen to him. We can have our resolve, right? But we are reasonable in our approach. We can stick by our resolve, but we're reasonable and our approach, right? And not only is he reasonable, but Daniel also gives him a plan, right? Because the official says, "Now, whoa, wait, Dan, I understand what you're saying. I know you don't want to eat that." He said, "But you need to understand, right? The big guy, Neb, yeah, he's not a kind man. And if you start getting scrawny and pale, right, and all the other ones are looking good and healthy, I'm telling you, this dude will have my head for it, right? I'll die if you don't look as good as the other, and it's traced back to me because I didn't give you the right food, right?" Again, Daniel is reasonable about this. He goes, "Okay, I get it. Here, I've got a plan for you." Go to verse 12. He says, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but veggies and water to eat." He says, "Then compare our appearance with those guys who are eating the royal food, and then you can decide for yourself whether this was a good idea or not." So he's reasonable, but he also gives the guy an alternative. He says, "I understand where you're coming from." He's sticking by his resolve. He says, "But let's try it this way, and let's just see how things happen." Now, if he'd have been aggressive, if he'd have been abrasive, the chief official would never listen to him. He'd either been killed or he'd have been locked up or something. He wouldn't have gotten anywhere. He stuck by his resolve, but he was reasonable in his approach. My friends, we can stick by our resolve, but we have to be reasonable in our approach. If we're aggressive, if we're abusive, that's not going to get us anywhere for standing up for what we believe. It reminds me of the words of Peter. Peter, in his first letter, says this. He says, "Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God." He says, live such good lives, show such compassion and love for others that they're still going to disagree with you. There's still going to be an opposition to the way you want to live and what you believe to be true. But if you live such good lives among them, he says, it'll end up that they'll give glory to God. In other words, you give them an opportunity to see your heart, or more importantly, to see God's heart. If we're abrasive, if we're abusive, if we start name-calling those that don't live according to what we believe God calls us to live, that gets us nowhere. All it does is create animosity and build up walls. We can stick to our resolve, stick to our beliefs, but we can be reasonable in our approach. And then at the end of the day, it calls for us to be reliant on God. Complete and total reliance on God. The only way that we can stand out and stand up for what we believe is through the power of God in us. Daniel was relying on God, right? Let's take back a look at Daniel, right? They're still in chapter 1, but verse 9. It says, "Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel." Daniel had his resolve. Daniel was reasonable in his approach. But at the end of the day, God is the one who caused the official to show compassion and favor towards Daniel. The other two stories we'll hit the next 2 weeks, you'll find out Daniel declaring his reliance on God, his total dependence on God to stand up for what's right. You and I, if we're going to stand up and stand out, we have to rely on God. In fact, we have to rely on the God who is willing to stand up and to stand out for you. The God who is willing to stand out from the rest of the crowd and the rest of the teachers of his day and eat with the sinners and the tax collectors to show that God's love and grace was for all people. Jesus, who is ready to stand out from all the rest of the teachers because he stood up to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and pointed out the fallacy of their teaching of self-righteousness and instead taught about God's grace and God's love. Jesus, who is willing to stand out from all the rest who were accused because he remained silent in front of the chief priest and in front of Pilate, knowing that was a one-way ticket to the cross. Jesus stood out from the rest of the criminals because as they nailed his hands and feet to the cross, he prayed that God would forgive them because he said they didn't know what they were doing. Jesus would stand out as he hung upon the cross and he cries out to a God asking him why he would forsake him, an innocent man. And Jesus, he stood out when he breathed his last but declared that it was finished, that payment was made for all of humankind's disobedience. And boy, did he stand out when he came back to life 3 days later. But he really stood out when he came back to life, not seeking revenge or vengeance against those who crucified him. Instead, he gave this command that in his name you are to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. Jesus stood out for you. And because he did, we can stand for him. Jesus even gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us and enable us to take a stand. Listen to the words of Jesus to his disciples as he talks about how it's going to get really crazy in this world. He says, whenever you're arrested or brought to trial, whenever you're falsely accused or fingers are pointing at you as being judgmental from society, he says, don't worry beforehand what you have to say. That doesn't mean that you don't think about it. You're not prepared. He says, just don't sweat it. Why? He says, say whatever is given to you at time, for it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus promised his Holy Spirit. He was given to you at your baptism. It's that Holy Spirit that lives in your heart right now. The Holy Spirit that gives you the courage to stand up, gives you the courage to stand out, gives you the wisdom to know what you should stand out for, what it is that you can let go. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers you to stand for what is right. And we'll have to, because we're different from the rest of the world. The Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world, because we've been called out of that way of life. We've been given a new life in Christ. We have a higher calling. We want to now follow and respond back to the God who called us. And that means we'll stand out. We can learn from Daniel, though. We can have our resolve. Think about it beforehand. We can make sure that we're reasonable in our approach. And then understand we're relying on God to get us through the whole thing. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, going back to the beginning of time, to that garden when mankind disobeyed you and we fell into sin, you resolved to redeem us. You resolved then and there to send your Son into our world and that through his blood that our sins would be forgiven and our relationship with you would be renewed. Father, we ask that we also would be just as resolved. Give us the courage and the power to stand up for you and to stand out from the rest of the crowd. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and give us the wisdom and discernment that we need to know when to stand out and how to be reasonable in standing by our convictions and our faith. And Father, we can't help but think about those fellow Christians who stood out for you up in Oregon, who said yes, that they believed in your Son as their Savior. We pray for their families. We ask that you would give them comfort and, and some sort of understanding. Just surround the entire community, all of those who have suffered such a great loss, those who are still battling injuries, and just the community itself as they struggle and have questions of why and such violence could happen among them. We just pray that your Spirit would descend upon them, that you would give them strength and comfort, and just embrace them in your love. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.